Our subject this morning is your words. Your words. Turn with me, if you would please, in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 30. Just read this book on Friday, I guess. This chapter. But in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15, the horse leaf has two daughters. Crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things. Say not, it is enough. God's words, as preserved in the Bible, are always honest and can be trusted. Our words, however, are not always faithful and cannot always be trusted, as all sin with their mouth. The word "word" is used at least 704 times in the King James Bible. And although most of those times it's referring to God's word, we can see by many references that words are important to God. Some of those verses show us what God thinks about what comes out of our mouth. In Romans chapter 1, where at least 30 sins are mentioned, at least 15 of those sins can involve what is said. Some of the iniquities mentioned are those of unthankfulness, debating, deceitfulness, gossip, backbiting, pride, boasting, disobedient to parents, coveting, breaking, and we could go on and on. Our words are very important to the Lord. And we need to be aware of that. Although there are over 100 commandments in the Old Testament, the popular known, of course, is the Ten Commandments, include at least three commandments that can involve our tongue. So it should be evident to all that our tongues can be used for good, and it can also be used for sin. Now here is some of what the Bible says about words that can come out of our mouth. I've talked with or counseled, whichever one you want, word you want to use, a lot of couples since I've been in the ministry. And I would say that no doubt how the husband speaks to the wife or how the wife speaks to the husband is a great problem in marriages. It's a great problem raising children. But as we look at James, chapter 3, I believe, James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, James said in verse 5 of the third chapter, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defile the whole body and set upon fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of the devil. We go down to verse 8. Said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We need as Christians, we need as brothers and sisters to use our tongue to uplift one another. And always use the rule, if you're telling something, does that person have a need to know? I believe somewhere in the book of Isaiah, I think around the 6th chapter and the 5th verse, he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. I wonder what he was talking about there. What was he saying when he said here in James, the 3rd chapter and 8th verse, that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly power. You know, Isaiah answered that by saying, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. When we use our tongue to downgrade somebody, or to tell things that it's not going to help anybody, we ask ourselves, why do we do that? You know, and you may ask, you know, is that important? Well, when we look at and we think about the word is used at least 704 times in our Bible. I believe it's important that we know that how we use our words can affect somebody negatively, or it can affect somebody positively. In Proverbs chapter 30, you know, as we use our text verse in 15, but also in verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. When we trust the Lord as our Savior, when we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, then it's important that we use every faculty that we have. Whether it is the ability to lead singing, the ability to sing, the ability to teach, the ability to do jobs that God has given you the talent to do, all for the glory of God. Then in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, we see here, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's trying to give the devil credit for that only God can do. I believe that takes place when someone who uses an office when someone takes credit for saving somebody. You know, we can love somebody so much, we can witness that person so much that you know, that when God finally saves them, we enter in and say, hey, you know, I had a part of that, not in the saving. You had a part in the witnessing, but not in the saving. Only God can save. But we need to use our words. You know, Job, as I recall, in around chapter 15, verse 5, I believe, he said, for my mouth utter thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Devil, Luther, uses a loose lip. Psalmist said in Psalms 52, verse 2, the tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. And I think you gather what I'm saying. We tend to say things that without thinking, is it going to be detrimental to that person? Is it going to hurt that person? Is it going to encourage them? You know, the psalmist has a lot to say about that. Psalm 64:3. Who wealth their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. You know, it's amazing to me how children get by with saying the things they do to their mother. I'm talking about 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids. I was at Walmart, picked up some medicine from a wife and a woman and a child, maybe 6, 7 years old, and she looked right at her mother and said, shut up. Thought for a moment, I said, you know, the old time moms would have been locked up because they would have flattened that child. But see, you can't do that now unless you want to take a chance on having that child taken away from you or going to jail or something. But God's word speaks, and we'll get to that in a moment, that our tongue can be our greatest asset or our greatest problem. The tongue devilish mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully in Psalms 52:2. And in Psalms 64:3, who waft their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. See, I think that we have left that to see how important it is to use the understanding and the love that God has placed in your heart if you're a child of the King to encourage someone. To encourage someone. I know in the home we all got different ways of handling things. But whether you agree with the way I would handle it or I agree with the way you handle it, it's not the issue. The issue is, do we want to be pleasing to the Lord? Do we want to use our tongue, our speech, our attitude to be pleasing unto the Lord? You know, as I said, David and the other psalmists spoke quite often about the tongue and the words and how it can be a blessing or a curse depending on how we use it. In Psalms 64, you know, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. Now, I quoted that, but I wanted to make sure if I got each word, because this psalm is very, very important. Who? In other words, who wet their tongue like a sword? You cut through a person's, you can cut a person down, you can hurt, you can make them feel little, or you can encourage them, depending on how you use the tongue. You know, God's word, every verse in this Bible is for our edification. And when we look at, in the book of Proverbs, that's the next book over from Psalms where you were, and if you look in Psalms 15 and verse 2, God says here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness. God has given us the ability, if we're saved, to tamper our words and to make sure that we're using loving words when the occasion is needful. Still in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21 verse 6. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. You know, I've got two prayers for the Lord. My first prayer is that our president will be reelected for a second term. Our second, you know, that this advertising on TV and radio has been some of the worst I've ever heard. You know, if they will lie and cheat and do everything they're doing to get elected, what are they going to do when they're in office? I don't want that type of person. If I had kids in church, I don't want that type of person teaching those kids. I don't want that type of person out on visitation where the community hears the language that some people use. You know, we've got to realize that our tongue is just like this Bible. It can be a help. It can be an encouragement to someone that is lost. By not looking at that person's Alfred, but to look, they got a soul. Turn it over to the 26th proverb. I love this verse. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Soak that in. Meditate upon that verse. What is God saying? Well, go back to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that divides a wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run into mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Look what company God puts that tongue in. Back over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, all I want to do this morning is get us to think, and I hope nobody fits these verses, but that we can use our tongue to encourage. We can use our tongue to tell someone how to be saved. But when we use our tongue to witness, everybody around you is going to watch you when you're anywhere else talking. God says in Proverbs 17 and verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You know, we shouldn't use our tongue to put someone else down, especially when we don't have all the details. I have a hard time understanding that. God give us speech, give us the ability to talk. Give us the ability to reason. Let's use our words of encouragement. We need to be responsible. We need to be careful what the tongue says. You know, the Bible says that I will give an account for every idle word. Don't that scare you? Don't that put a little bit of fear in you? And how many rewards we're going to lose, even if we're saved, because we misused our mouth when we didn't know what we was talking about. Be careful what the tongue says. According to Psalms 34 and verse 13, you know, it can and should be controlled. So the psalmist said in Psalms 34 and verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You know, when they was describing my Savior, they said there was no guile found in his mouth. No deceit at all. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5 and verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. You know, Job, I think about Job and I wondered if, you know, I know Job didn't do it by himself. It was the grace of God that caused him to be able to succeed. But Job said in chapter 6 and verse 24, teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. Now, if Job was asking God to teach him, don't you think we need to be taught? We need to be submissive? And when we speak of someone, is it going to lift them up or is it going to put them down? And especially when they change from a second and third source. I believe that one of the things that's going to cause us to wonder sometimes, do we really realize that every idle word that we speak, we're going to have to give an answer for? Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 31, God said, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out." Now, think about that just a moment. God is saying here in Proverbs 10, verse 31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom." You know, all of you, well, all of you do, but most of you that are here remember Brother Bobby Wall. And Bobby was amazing. He would tell you something that happened with his first marriage or his child when he was young. And if he told you that, and he did many times, but it was every word exactly the same. I've met a lot of people since I've been pastor, working at IBM, and, you know, just visiting. But I've never met a man that could tell me a story this year and 3 years down the road, every word was exactly the same. You know what I gathered from that? He was telling me the truth. Truth never changes. But if someone is building up himself or building up somebody, they forget the words that they use. They forget the time. But you know, God knows exactly the day that I said, "Lord, I accept you." He knows exactly the hour, the minute, the second. And from that time on, I am to use my words to uplift God, to praise Him. We serve a great and mighty God. You know, and as I studied this early this morning again, I said, you know, this is not a Sunday morning sermon. But God wouldn't let me take it off of me. He couldn't let it go. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, they speak no guile." That's a very important verse. When you look at this verse, I'm telling you, it's a very important verse here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile." Now the reason this is important, we will be accountable for every word we say. Don't that make your stomach turn a little bit? But I didn't mean it. I was upset. It didn't say that you're only going to give account for the words when you was cool, calm, and collected. But every word that I've ever said, it'll be accounted to God. Now, let's see if the Bible backs this up. Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look around verse 36. Matthew 12, verse 36. Yep, here it is. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You know, we need to understand that God knows everything that I think, everything that I say. You know, in Psalms 139, verse 4, it's not a word in my mouth, but, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Not one word that I have ever said or will say that God does not know about it. James chapter 1, verse 26. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Now, I about forgot what I knew about this bridle, but you know, when you put a bridle on a horse and you can turn that horse whichever way you want to go with that bit in his mouth. So God is saying here, if a man seems to be religious and does not control his tongue, does not bridle his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. See, it's something about being saved that you or at least I did. I look in the mirror after God saved me, and I do sometimes, and I just look myself and say, if God can save that, he can save anything. And I believe that's where we need to be, that as long as there's breath in that individual, that gospel can change him or her. And what we need to use our tongues to encourage that individual. There were times when Jesus, our example, knew to say nothing. You know, sometimes the best answer is nothing. In the book of Matthew 27 and verse 14, and he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Just didn't say a word. There were times when Jesus did speak. The tongue can be used for good. Paul said to the church of Philosophy in the book of Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. A tongue shall speak of the righteousness and of the praise all day long. I believe that's in Psalms 35:28. You can check me out. But the tongue of the just is as a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. I mean, what worth is a man that's got an evil, depraved heart that has not been touched by the Lord? I believe God expects all of us, and we do. I affect everybody I meet, good or bad. We think we don't. But I believe that we do. And I'm not bragging on this at all because I just so many bad thoughts, but I don't care whether it's in the grocery store, going into any place. If there is a lady behind me, I open the door and wait till she goes through. It's not that I think, and I've had them tell me, "You think I'm helpless?" "No, ma'am. I thought you was a lady." The tongue of the just is as choice silver. I'm telling you, I know that some of you sometimes probably think, is Proverbs the only book a man reads? No, but man, it's a good one. You know, in Proverbs 15 chapter in the 4th verse, God said a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a branch in the spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that some good stuff there? Next chapter back in Proverbs 14 and verse 15, God said, Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. There will be a time when we all speak what God wants us to speak. And brothers and sisters, that's not going to be long. Paul said that to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I told a friend of mine this week, well, he lives down Ellerberry Drive, down from where I live, and he said, "I don't like most Christians, but you're different." I said, "Good or bad?" He said, "I think you try to live what you say you believe." I said, "You have one word, right? Try. That's all we can do. But we want our light to shine. And no better way of having people to think good on you than as a young person, be mannerly. As a child of God, always speak of Him. Speak of Him. I'm here today because of God. And so are you. I understand what I understand because of God." I'm telling you, our words matter. Amen. Anyone that has been around the school system, nurseries, you can see the kids that were taught and the kids who wasn't taught. And we blame those kids. not their fault. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of being in God's kingdom.